Sahanavavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Sahaviryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastumavidvishabahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, Chaitanya Upanayanam, Natya Shastra, Chapter 6, Mellows, Rasa, page 28. Okay, Udriti. In this verse, Bharat Muni states that one can taste rasa only when one has developed a particular sthayi bhava. This is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha 2.5.113 as follows. No, 1.33. That which the wise person who has dedicated his intelligence only to the Lord experiences in the heart, which realizes vibhava and other elements as separate entities through deep impressions of previous bhakti, is called bhava. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport. First, the person attains bhava by vibhava and other elements manifesting. Then the sarup of bhava appears. Then by those vibhavas and other elements, rasa appears. This is the order. The two describe the difference between rati and rasa by describing their particular natures. That which surpasses the stage of distinguishing vibhava, vyavachari bhavas, and other elements, and attains astonishing taste is called rasa. Like, so now we're analyzing the five different parts and all that. Mm-hmm. Right? So that can maximum bring you to the point of bhava. But, you know, bhava's not bad. But the point is that's the maximum you get. So the point is that when you don't distinguish as you see them all together, then you get the full taste. You know, it'd be just like, let's say, you're eating something. And then if I ask, okay, what's in it? And then you're tasting, okay, there's some cinnamon, there's some this, that, and so many things. But you're not tasting the overall. Rasa is the overall flavor, all combined. Because then you just taste the one element like that. So then that's the difference. When you're still seeing that this is happening, that's there, therefore this and all that, then that can get up to bhava, up to rati. Because bhava and rati are the same. Right? So rasa means then they're all together. You don't distinguish. You just see that flavor of all together. But if asked, of course, they can describe. That's how the acharyas are explaining this. So they're tasting rasa, but they can describe it. You know? Does that make sense? You know, just like you're tasting it, the overall taste, but if at, you can describe what's there. Does that make sense?
And it is unique. It's we can say it's only one time. It means when we experience something, it's only one time.
That's here. There it's an eternal aspect.
But it's always, can we say it's always fresh?
It's always fresh, but that means you're putting another one on top of that.
Yes.
See, is that here we experience something and it's very nice and then the experience drops off. Then, you know, after a bit of a lull for a while, then there's another experience and that, and then it drops off like this. You know, I say, you know, stuff like here's the center line. You know, where we're used to it going like this, but actually it's like this. You know, so that, yeah. So, but in the spiritual world, you have a taste, and that stays. Then there's another taste. Like the cowherd boys are playing with Krishna and they're wrestling. The taste of that remains eternally. It never goes away. Then on top of that, then they go and, you know, walk with Krishna and are talking about this and that, and the taste of that, that remains there also eternally. And then the next thing is eternal. Right? Because why would they forget? We also forget everything. You know, we forget what we did yesterday. You know, we forget what we did today. You know? You know, so That's what Prabhupada's talking about, is because we're not eternal. Krishna never forgets anything because he's eternal. Right? So because of the temporary nature. So therefore the taste of any of this is eternal. One never forgets these things. It just adds up. But it's not necessarily you have to analyze all these things. That's just the point of rasa. It just keeps increasing. Because the new taste then is, you know, will have the element of the previous taste to it. Because I remember what we were discussing before with the Chaturvyuha. Anything in Aniruddha, once it's tasted, it goes back to Prajumna. So it's part of the field now. It's part of the attitude, mm-hmm. right? I've done something. It's nice. So now in the situation, now I have that previous experience of it being nice, and so I'm enthusiastic. But it still remains as a taste. You know, so now the new situation, it has the taste from the previous one there as a backup, as a support, you know, or to add in. You know, it's not that, you know, you get your new house and then you go out and you buy yourself, let's say, you know, a couch and the lounge chairs that are on the ends there. And then you think, okay, well, we could also use some tables. Then, you know, the movers come in, take out the sofa and chairs and that, and then you bring in the two tables. Then you go, well, these tables need something. What about some lamps? And so then the movers move out the tables, then you bring in lamps that stick on the floor. You know what I'm saying? It just is on a one on top of the other. You know, and then you need a rug, then you need something on the coffee, and then you need a coffee table, then something on the coffee table. You know, then it's curtains, and then it's you know, it just keeps on going. It's just unlimited. But it never becomes kitschy. You understand? No?
Yes.
Yeah. No?
Because we are sick.
Yes. Yes. Kitschy means too much little things everywhere. It's not nice. Yeah. No. Okay. That which surpasses the stage of distinguishing vibhava, vyapichari bhavas, and other elements, and attains astonishing taste is called rasa, right? So they can describe the elements of rasa, which are all the vibhavas, you know, all these bhavas, right? So all these different five bhavas, then when they're together, that makes the rasa. That's why it's vibhava, stai bhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, and vyavichari bhavas. You can describe those. But the taste, they never describe. Right? Because when you're tasting, you're tasting. You're not describing. What is the nature of that rasa? It produces more amazement than rati. Bhava or rati is experienced in the heart, which ascertains bhava yaha pade chitte, the bhavas, vibhavas, the vyavichari bhavas. And other elements, right? So ascertaining. At the time of directly realizing rasa, however, there is no awareness of the vibhavas, vyavichari bhavas, and other elements as separate entities. However, at the time of realizing rati, there is awareness of the vibhavas and other elements as separate entities. It should be understood that the difference between rasa and rati is the depth of relishing the rasa, right? So both are there. So the depth of rasa, you can appreciate the elements that are there, but at the same time as you're not distinguishing that, and there's the taste. So they both go together. So you can be analyzing how Krishna as the vibhava and how wonderful and attractive he is, but at the same time, then there's the taste of that. You know what creates the anubhavas in that. You know, so sometimes you say, when I see him, I want to do this and that. So then there's the aspects of they're pointing out the rati. But at the same time, as it's within the context of rasa that they're tasting that combination. Does that make sense? So they both go together. Yeah?
But then one is the cause, one is the effect.
Yes. But that's the whole point, is one creates the other, and the other because of that, then there's more of the effect. So that's what he's saying, is that it goes up through this process, right? Attains bhava by vibhava and other elements. Then the sarupa bhava appears. Right? It means the form of all that together. Then by those vibhavas and other elements, rasa appears. So you get first is the attainment of bhava and all by understanding the elements. You get to bhava and seeing this and that, and it creates ecstasy. Right? Then the sarupa of that, all of together, then that creates rasa. So both are there. You can see what's there, and it's also the taste that's there. So they nourish each other. Because of the taste, then there's more inspiration in the bhava, because that there's more taste in the rasa. Right? No problem. They're good friends. Good friends. Srila Jiva Goswami further elaborates on this topic in Priti Sandarbha. Rasa, filled with priti for the Lord, manifests by its combination with vibhava and other elements. Among material poets, he's smarter today. Yesterday went up on my finger, today he's not. Rasa, filled with priti for the Lord, manifests by its combination with vibhava and other elements. Among material poets, there are four groups. One group maintains that rasa chiefly functions through an ancient character who is portrayed in the drama, since the actor is secondary. A second group says that rasa resides in the actor who portrays the character, since emotions like fear interrupt the rasa of an actual historical character. Since the actual historical character is limited, has faults, and since the character is material and common, whereas rasa is continuous, unlimited, and uncommon. Therefore, the portrayal by the actor produces rasa. A third group says that rasa arises in the audience, since the audience adopts the identity of the character by having an open mind through instruction. A fourth group maintains that if there is skill in the actor, rasa should arise in both the actor and the audience. So, different, they analyze. So this is what they sit around doing all day. Right? Yes.
So the question, is rasa, is it an energy that flows between the vishai and ashray? Is that what we understand as rasa?
It must be that element, prema will be an energy of the Lord. It means you have the hladini shakti, that's where you're getting that pleasure from. Yeah, but it's a relationship between. But the point is, yeah. So is that a good thing or is that a problem? Or
no, it's a very good thing, because mundane, they as just described here, they shift the positions.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in bhakti rasa, that's what it is.
Yeah, so. So it's, the point is the same like before we were discussing with the words. If the sarup shakti is there, then it has that potency. Then you'll get that rasa and everything like that. So they're dealing here is that who is it that you're portraying? They have the rasa, right? Because they have the rasa. Then when you're portraying it, then the audience can appreciate it, and the actor can appreciate it because it's there in the original character. Well, the other is saying, no, it's the actor themselves, they do that. The other is that, no, it's the audience by identifying with the character, therefore they taste. And then the fourth is that the skill in the actor, then it should come to both the actor and the audience. Because if the actor's there, he'll properly channel those things, and then the audience, but point is all these elements have to be there. That's the whole point. On the material platform, it has to be one or the other. It can never be both at once. Does that make sense? So you always have that in education. Is it this or that? Or, is democracy, is it liberal or conservative? But the point is it's both. They all go together. So that's the difficulty, yes.
Another point, as it was described previously, hence it is towards the audience. They are the main, those who experience
yes.
the rasa.
Yes.
At least it should be that the audience experiences is somewhat higher than what the actors experience, because it's not about actors' experience.
No, but the act, but it, here is like the fourth one says, the actor can experience it.
Yes.
Because also, he's going and is going right, he's experiencing, the audience is experiencing. But the point is, if the audience doesn't really identify, how will they experience?
Yeah.
You know, if the actor is not, you know, how you say, trying to be true to the original character, how will that be experienced? You know, so it all goes together. That's what we're saying. It's yeah. So, yeah, but the point is, if the chit potency is there, then you'll get that aspect. If it's not, then you'll get, yes, material rasa, because they're dealing with that aspect. They're dealing with material elements. Because that's the point, is that when we say there's a moment, then we're not talking about specific elements. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is that, but otherwise you're talking about, oh, there's this, there's that, and all these things. But the moment means you don't notice any of that. Yes?
Because sometimes devotees, they try to parallel and... You know, in Greek, the catharsis is the highest experience of the audience. And some devotees say that is compared to bhav. But if we look closely, it's just a sense of unity, not necessarily bhav as it is. It's just one, you know, common emotion, you know, high emotion.
Yeah, yes.
But it has nothing to do with spiritual. As
no.
Such.
Only if it's you're portraying something spiritual and the devotees have that faith in that, then they can have that spiritual aspect, like that. But the point is even it's there, because as discussed before by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, is that it's bhava itself that extends down through the process of sadhana. And so you are experiencing, but the point is it's very minor compared to what is the, you know, the that great ocean of bhava. But the point is that a drop of the ocean of bhava is greater than the ocean of material taste. So that's why then we're attracted, because that's the natural happiness of the living entity. It's coming from ananda. Because there's that aspect, and you say the catharsis, but then you're means you're giving up something. That it's not about the positive so much as it's giving up the negative. Unless there's a difference here in how they're using the term. It's my understanding, catharsis means there's something there, and you're letting it out. You're you know, giving it up, like. You're angry with this person for the last 20 years, and then in some discussion or something, then you get that up, and you become purified. So is catharsis being used in a different way here?
Yeah, well, in the drama, catharsis is when the entire audience experience very high emotion.
Oh, okay, so it's being used in that way.
That's what it is.
But what I'm saying is, it's in there, but that's used, that's as a theater terminology.
Yes.
But that means they're giving up something else and experiencing this. So that's the thing on transcendental, you don't have to give something up to experience. You don't have to give up previous other positions or emotions to experience transcendental. So it's actually, so there it's indicating, you know, in other words, they're absorbed in this and that and what happened at the office and that, and they give all that up and they become absorbed, like that. So in one sense, yes, you're going from one, you know, from a particular position. So that's the point of utsava. It raises you above the day-to-day disturbances of life, right? And so then it raises you up. And then you taste that aspect. So I guess from that aspect, that's why they're looking at it. But like you said, yeah, it's an absorption. It's just like we're saying, is that the focus is complete at that point, and there's nothing else in their mind, and so everybody's absorbed like that. So everybody's looking for those moments where they'll be completely absorbed. You know, so if you can do that and something else at the same time. You know, it's like if you're having a conversation and the other person can read the newspaper at the same time, it's not a very deep... the experience won't be very deep.
This is how they judged, actually. If the audience experienced catharsis, means the drama was well performed.
Yes, yes.
Otherwise, like you're saying, everybody have their own business.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, so at those moments you can see. Because that's the thing, is that though they make no eye contact with the audience and there's no, they don't break the fourth wall, you can still tell what the audience is doing.
Yeah.
That's the, I guess through the periphery you can tell. Like that. But, you know, you're sure is at the end, if, you know, they stand up and clap and there's bravo and all this kind of jazz, then, you know. Yeah? The devotees, however, accept rasa with priti for the Lord in all cases. Right? So all of these things are there. Since there is absence of faulty causes like being material. Right? So if there's no material cause, then because you're portraying a spiritual personality, that has the potency. Because you're performing all your activities in such a way to try to do that very nicely, that does that. The audience, because they identify with it and all that, and they see, you know, how, you know, Ramachandra is doing this and that, then that goes there. And then by the expertise between all this, then it all works out. No?
I think in Lalita Madhava, the Krishna, the actors are so good that Krishna, who is in the audience, he confuses himself with the actor. He doesn't really know whether it's me or where is Krishna. And he goes and he's like trying to act himself, but then they hold him back. This is ghost actor. Okay.
Yeah, no, because that's the whole thing. That's why it's said that they're non-different. So. Sometimes it comes up as a element that you know, like we do the Vamanadeva Leela, whereas, you know, one of the small kids, you know, like that, is dressed up as Vamanadeva, and then you know, he's brought out and the worship is done and all that. So some people get really upset with that. But the point is if it's done properly, appropriately, they take on those qualities and it's non-different. But if you don't have faith and all that, you don't identify, then you won't understand it. And so therefore you go on arguing for decades about this. But otherwise, no. That's it's understood that when it's done properly, they're non-different. Like that. For that time. Afterwards, it's not that they still are. You know? You know? Is that? Yeah. So it's just that's the point. That's the except rasa with priti for the Lord in all cases. Since there's the absence of faulty causes like being material, the full rasa which eternally affects the hearts of the Lord's associates, being portrayed, spreads to the actor portraying the associates of the Lord. It has been established that priti to the Lord is not material and not limited by its very nature. It is not produced by poets as is material rati. They produce it. But here it's just, you perform the pastimes, it's produced, whether it's really done well or not. You know, it's just like, I see so many times those that appreciate dramas and do dramas a lot as part of the preaching. Many times, because there's stories that everybody knows. Like I've seen it myself, Indradrumnamars, they'll be out on Sankirtan or they'll be doing kirtan during a festival, you know, like that. Like it's Nisringa Chaturdasi or Nityananda Triodasi or something like that, and they're doing kirtan for the festival. And then suddenly within that, then he'll take one part, and then Sri Pallada take another part, and some other devotee take another, and they do this whole drama there like that, and then go back into the kirtan. You know, so it doesn't need, you know, that you have to sit down and crack your, you know, skull trying to figure out how to put it together like that. Or remember in Shivram Marsh, you know, when they have their big festivals and stuff like that, then he just called together some devotees and then they'd all just portray it. They'd just decide who's playing what and just do it. There's no script, there's no rehearsal, nothing. Everybody knows the part, you know, what they're saying in general, and then they point it out, because even if you're not using exact Shastric words, it says if those words are in pursuance of, then it carries the same potency. And then they do. Does that make sense? Or I've even seen here once, doing a Nisshinga Kirtan in front of Nisshinga Dev, like that, and then, how you say, Jananivas went into this bhav like Nisshinga Dev, you know, getting out his nails and, you know, going out and, I think, chasing around Punk Jungri. You know, like that. And so, yeah. So, these things are, it's just part of the scene. It can happen. Right, but here you're dealing with spiritual potency, so then that works. And because of the purity, then it works. Like that. So it's not channeling or these other things. It's just, you know, speaking in tongues or all these kind of strange things. It is not produced by poets as a material rati. It is fixed in the definition of priti svarup. Fear and other unfavorable elements can never interrupt priti of Prahlad or the gopis. It cannot be interrupted by birth, as in the case of Vritra or Gajendra or Bharata. It cannot be interrupted even by the bliss of Brahman. The case of Sukadeva is famous. Its causes are also non-material. Right? Because Sukadeva is absorbed in Brahman, but then he just becomes attracted by the pastimes of the Lord. Right? So Brahman can't even interrupt it. Krishna is the Alambana, cause, because he is the unsurpassed form of Bhagavan. Because his associates are similar to him, this spiritual cause must be accepted. This is proclaimed widely in the Shruti and Puranas, and the Udipanas, which act as causes, things associated with the Lord, are also eternal, since they are connected with the eternal Lord. So the cause of it all is Krishna. He is there. And then his associates, his name, form, qualities, pastimes, all that, they all come from him. And so then anything that produces this in the audience then is coming from Krishna. Like that. So that's the cause. Right? So all these things are there. It's not that you can't then praise the actors for doing such a nice job, you know, or the audience for being, you know, so absorbed and things like that. All these four elements are there. But they're uninterrupted by anything material. Right? Thus, the causes of priti are called vibhava, as in material rasa, since they possess a shakti to produce rasa. The nomenclature follows that of material rasa. Right, so they're saying the titles used will be, you know, the poets have described the material rasa. So the same terms are used. Vibhava is what brings about qualification for a sprout of taste, rasa, with excellence of rati and other elements. Anubhava follows after rati, which has mixed with vibhava, manifesting as the form of rasa. Santari Bhava directly assists the rati. Sahita Darpana 3:13. So then these will be the same. We'll use the same kind of terminologies, like that, because Krishna has arranged that these people are writing these things using terminologies that he wants to use, and giving definitions, and then the acharyas will come along and then say that they're following this. Yes. But it actually came originally from the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Even authorities for material rasa say that, by causes such as vibhava, though material, being invested with uncommon shakti, from taking shelter of poetics, happiness can arise from sorrow. Similarly, in spiritual rasa, sorrow produces happiness. Thus, separation produces rasa according to us as well. In sorrow produced by separation from the Lord and his bhava, filled with the highest bliss, appear within the heart. Thus, one can never give up the highest bliss, both in union and in separation. Right? So the bliss is saying transcendental position. Just, it has different sources. It means it's ultimately back to Krishna, because Krishna is rasa. So it means everything goes back to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Rasa is not hindered in persons suffering from hunger for the Lord, since it is like being relieved of hunger by hot, sweet milk. The bhava of the highest bliss. Yeah, I don't know if we can use that these days, because nowadays you wouldn't use milk, you'd use almond milk, and it wouldn't be sweet. Hot maybe, but most people would drink it cold, right? But it doesn't just work. Relieved of hunger by cold almond milk without any sweetener.
Sweet.
Huh? Unsweetened. Relief of hunger by cold, unsweetened almond milk. Something that doesn't have the same ring. Okay. Relieved of hunger by hot, sweet milk. The bhava of the highest bliss. Giving sorrow from separation is like the cooling moon giving pain to the person separated from his beloved. Right? So it's going to absorb them in who they're connected to, right? Seeing the moon and its cool rays, they're going to remember the beloved, and so that's going to give a particular pain. But that pain is in the taste of the relationship. Since that pain arises from the bliss of the Lord and nourishes the future happiness of union. So it's come originally from the bliss of the Lord. Then it's come to sorrow because of not being with the Lord. But that will give rise to the future of being with the Lord and the bliss that comes there. It is included in happiness, right? Because the separation will give rise to the happiness in union. This conclusion is established since union is inevitable and since the devotee has hope of attaining the Lord. Based upon his words and omniscience, knowing the pain of the devotee related to his compassion. Right? So the Lord has said this, the devotee is absorbed in this, and the Lord, being omniscient, he knows the pain of the devotee. Right. Thus it is concluded that rasa arises from the person depicted by words, acting, etc. That is the chief cause, since anuraga, arising from seeing the Lord, direct person, is superior to anuraga arising from hearing about him. Right, so therefore you're going to hear, but then when on top of that they act and see, then it increases. Right, so the dramatic reading, it means if you just read, it's one thing. You make a dramatic reading, it's another. Then you also act it out, that means even more. Right? So, yeah. Okay, from Bhagavatam. The Lord, whom countless songs glorify in countless ways, forcibly attracts the minds of all women who simply hear about him. What to speak then of those women who see him directly? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:90-26. So just hearing, you'll get attracted, let alone seeing. Seeing is even greater. Right? The person portraying the Lord, Anu Karta, is the devotee, since others cannot portray the Lord at all. Right? So if you have just mundane actors, they really can't do it. Rasa will arise from the devotee's portrayal, but the Lord's rasa should not generally arise by being directed to the devotee actor as if he were the Lord, since this is contrary to bhakti. Therefore, this should not be attempted. The realization should be with a relationship with the Lord, not with an actor. Right? So we don't see it's about with the actor. It's about, you just see as the person is represented, so it's with the Lord. And the actor themselves, it's with the Lord. They don't think I'm the Lord. They think I'm portraying this. And they try to do their best to do it nicely. Right? So the connection is with the Lord. The realization should be with a relationship with the Lord, not with an actor. It is successful as an udipana for bhakti rasa. If one tries to enact the realizations of pure devotees, then this is possible by identifying as the devotee's associate, not by becoming the associate. That is also contrary to bhakti. You don't think I am. You're a servant of them.
Yes.
as being a servant of the individual that you're portraying. Mm. Therefore, then you can take part. You don't become them. Just like you don't see the other way. Mm. It's with the Lord. Does that make sense? Yes. Though portraying Vasudev, for instance, the actor will produce rasa for persons having bhava similar to that of Gada, his son. The audience in which rasa arises consists of the devotees, right? So we see is the actors are devotees, the audience is devotees. That is established. Right? That's all he says. In dramas, there are rules for manifesting rasa in the audience. In oral works, the rasa depends on the subject described, the narrator, and the listener. For persons with a sprout of rasa, rati, rasa depends on all three, right? Subject described, the narrator, and the listener. For a person with prema, it can depend simply on remembrance, just as listening to seven musical notes gives rise to rasa. Right? So, for those with just a sprout of rati, an appreciation, then when all of them are together, then it works very nicely. Your attitude's right, the actor's attitude's right, what's being spoken is right, then it all works very nicely. But for someone on the platform of prema, just any of it can just remind them of the original situation, and then they're absorbed, whether they're good actors or not. Like in Bombay, then I can't remember what it's for, but so for some reason they did a program. Oh, it was in the Shringa Chaturdasi. Yeah, and so then they did the drama of a drama of that, and then in that then you have Lord Brahma coming out. Hiranyakashipu is doing his meditation. Lord Brahma comes, and all these things like that. And so then Prabhupada was sitting on his Vyasasan there, and that old when it was the shed, because there were no walls except on the deed room. So he just kind of stepped up and all this kind of thing like that. But then when an actor would come in, then Prabhupada would he'd be very much absorbed, because being on prema, then they'd remind him of this. So whether the actors were doing well or not, or the lines were good or not, or anything, it didn't matter. It was a success. Narada traveled through the planets while absorbed continuously in the lotus feet of the Lord, whom he revealed through seven notes of spiritual sound. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.5.22. Right? So like that, he's revealing the Lord through the sound. It's not that the sound itself is the direct aspect. But through that medium, you can reveal the Lord. Like that. So through the notes, you can reveal. So through the acting, you can reveal. Material rasiks, however, say that even if there's deficiency in a component, rasa arises from the suggestion of the elements. There are two types of rasiks of priti for the Lord. Persons participating in the Lord's pastimes and those who identify with participating in the pastimes. The first type has perfect eternal rasa, as mentioned previously. The second type has two methods. By hearing about the pastimes of the Lord with his associates, and by hearing about the sweetness of the Lord. If by hearing about the pastimes one enters as a participant with similar mentality, then he develops a similar bhava and makes the vibhavas current in the pastime become part of his identity. Quote, there is no discontinuity of vibhava, etc., in tasting rasa to produce feelings of, quote, this is someone else's or not someone else's, or this is mine or this is not mine. Sahita Dharpana 3.12. The person has a differing mentality. The vibhavas, sancharis, and anubhavas generally become ordinary. They become udipans for his particular bhava, but do not produce rasa. Whatever is his mood and all that, it'll produce that, but it won't produce rasa. If the mentality is contrary, for instance, madhurya with vatsalya, the elements become udipans for general priti on seeing vatsalya, etc. They do not act as udipans for one's particular bhava, and they do not produce rasa. Right? So if there's some contradiction or this or that, it won't produce. But it's saying in the those persons on prema, it'll just remind you of that, and they'll go off on that. It doesn't matter even what's going on. By hearing about the sweetness of the Lord, rasa arises independently, as if entering the pastime. When priti for the Lord reaches the state of rasa, this is experienced. Priti endowed with vibhava and other elements is called priti mayi rasa. It is said, quote, just by mixing rock candy, pepper, and other ingredients, a novel taste is produced in the resulting rasa. So by the mixture of vibhava and other elements, a novel taste is produced in rasa. Sahitya Darpana 315. End of Jiva Goswami's explanation on rasa from Priti Sandarbha Anucheda 108. So you see, they're all describing the same thing. Right? Verses 34 to 38. Relation between rasa and bhava. Now one inquires, does bhava come out of rasa, or the rasa come out of bhava? On this point, some are of the opinion that they arise from their mutual contact, but this is not so. Why? It is apparent it is apparent that the rasa arises from the bhava and not the bhava from the rasa. Yeah, you need a few.
Yes.
Apparent that rasa arises from bhava and not that bhava arises from rasa.
In India, it's better with the thought.
No, it works because as I said, you have to read it differently. You have to use the accent, proper accent. Then you get it. Yeah, then it really makes it. You know, it is apparent that the rasa arises from the bhava, and not the bhava from the rasa. Right. So there, it really makes sense. But the problem, you have to read it that way. So. In other words, we can put a little symbol in front so you know which accent to use. You know. The whole thing should be, yes. But I'm not sure if it may not work in others if they're not written in that style.
Mixed styles.
Mixed styles. The bhavas are so called by experts in drama, for they make one feel bhavayati, the rati, in connection with various modes of dramatic representation, just as by many articles of various kinds, auxiliary cooked eatable, vyanjana is brought forth. Yeah, it means you have the ingredients, and then you get the eatable. So the bhavas, along with various different kinds of histrionic representation, abhinaya, will cause the rasa to be felt. There can be no rasa prior to the bhava, and no bhava without the rasa following it. And during the histrionic representation, abhinaya, they result from their interaction. Right. So when the ingredients are there, then that's why I say ingredients of rasa. So when the ingredients are there, you taste rasa. But in the taste, you don't have to separately identify the ingredients. Yes. So it's not that the ingredients go away. It's just they become, together they all become rasa.
Yes, yes.
And then from that, then the rasa, then the various ingredients become enhanced. Right? The vibhava, the anda, all they'll become greater.
So it is in the same time.
Yes. But at the same time as you start from ingredients, that's why we go through bhava, then prema.
Yes.
You know? Like that. Just as the combination of auxiliary cooked vegetables, eatables, vyanjana, and rice imparts good taste to the food in totality, so the bhavas and rasas cause one another to manifest themselves. Bhavayati. Just as a tree grows from a seed and flowers from fruits from a tree, so the rati is the source of all the bhavas. And likewise, the bhavas exist as the source of the rasas. So you have the original, you have that particular rati that gives the source of the bhavas. The bhavas then give to the rasas. You have a particular interest that gives the five kinds of how you say? ratis, and then that combined together, that creates the bhava. So that makes sense? Like, it's like what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentioned. First, the person attains bhava by vibhava and other elements, then the sarupa bhava appears, and then those bhavas and others. So there's a particular taste, particular rati, because bhava is called rati. And then when all these elements come together, then you have the sarupa bhava, then you get the taste of prema. Huh?
So Maharaj, the first one is Raki?
Means there's a particular interest.
Yeah.
You know? But if it's generic, then you're identifying with what's there. So there's going to be an aspect, you know, it's like the hero, like that, you're going to identify it there. And then so the tastes that go along with it. While explaining the Rasa Tattva, the following statements are made in relation to drama by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Okay. Those attracted to poetics say that hearing skillful poetry related to the Lord and seeing literary dramas related to the Lord are the main causes for realizing the nature of all these elements in the devotee and Lord. However, the ultimate cause of understanding these elements is the influence of rati directed to the Lord, which is inconceivable, sweet, and most astonishing. Right? So they themselves aren't, but there's an attraction towards the Lord, because rati means attraction. So if there's this attraction of the Lord, it may not be specific that we have a specific kind of rati, but just as an attraction for the Lord, that's then becomes the basis, right? Because it ultimately comes from the Lord. So if there's an attraction for the Lord, then these things will manifest. So yeah, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2, 5, 90 and 91. Nice, Srila Prabhupada. Whenever there is a recitation of poetry or a dramatic play on the different pastimes of Krishna, the audience develops different kinds of transcendental loving service for the Lord. They enjoy different types of vibhava, anubhava, and sanchari bhava. If just a little bit of bhava and the other elements related to the associates of the Lord appear in the devotee, immediately he achieves completeness from the appearance of the vibhavas, anubhavas, sattvika bhavas, and vyavichari bhavas. However, it is correct when the literary experts say that rati depicted in characters through literary works will not in itself produce rasa, since the mundane aspects are involved. This is also 2, 5, 106, 107. Yeah, that's back also. Yeah, it doesn't mention where Srila Prabhupada is coming from. And this one then.
I can mention
that. Oh, because that could be taken from the... okay, yeah, maybe this is taken from Nectar Devotion. On the same point. Yeah, because the Nectar of Devotion is not defined which is with which verses.
Yes.
But then we have that form where, you know, what we went through, where it is defined in connection with.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami. Though rati produces rasa through the mind of the experiencers, someone may propose that dramatic presentations can also directly produce an experience of rasa. The author rejects this notion with an approving statement from others. Natyagya here means literary experts who are expert in material literature. According to them, there are three supporting factors in the production of rasa. In seeing a drama, these factors are the character impersonated. For instance, Nala, famous character in Sanskrit literature. Somehow or another, when you're dealing with the theatrics, you wouldn't necessarily use, what was it, what did he say? Impersonated. You'd use another term. Okay, so it's the character who's being represented, so in this case Nala, the actor and the spectator seeing the performance. In hearing a poetic work, these factors are the character described. Okay, in hearing a poetic work, these factors are the character described, the speaker and the hearer. So the same thing, because sometimes it's acted, sometimes it's spoken. Because even in the drama, you see sometimes someone will be narrating. So they're not acting. I mean, they're an actor, but they're narrating. So your connection with the person they're describing is then through the words. While then the actor, then they're performing those things. Does that make sense? The abhinaya. These experts do not consider that rasa issues from the characters impersonated by acting or depicted by recitation. So here we use depicted. Why not impersonated? Need a different word. Because these in themselves are just depictions of common characters, lauki katvadi, with limitations, possessing qualities such as fear. Footnote 12. The characters represented or the literary works do not possess inherent emotions such as fear or joy, which are the components of rasa. These emotions are experienced only through the performance in the presence of the audience. So the saying is you're taking a material aspect, so then it's not that they're carrying that thing. Mm-hmm. While in the transcendental, then you're depicting that character, then it's that potency is actually coming from them. Yes. Right? But we know, is even on the material platform, it's coming from the universal form. So therefore that character is an aspect of the universal form. It's a combination of those potencies. So representing that, then it can carry those flavors. Yes. Because we know it comes back to the Lord. But as they say, the mundane poets, they don't necessarily factor this in. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Like that.
To Arashten, we said that the mundane drama is like a shadow reflection, the original one.
Yeah. It means you get some, but I'm saying it's the whole world's like a shadow, you know, in that case. So that was the whole point of Socrates. Right, is that you know, he was giving the example of what people are seeing on the material platform is like if you sit someone down facing a wall, behind them you build a fire, and then someone does like shadow acting on the wall, and so they see that and they think that's real. He says, but you're supposed to come along and say, no, excuse me, and pick them up, you know, get them up, take them outside the cave, and show them that's what you. So, like that. But that was a bit far out for people, so they, dismissed his existence. You know. As well, the actor or reciter cannot really cause rasa because the actors and reciters are simply performers earning a living. Thus, the literary experts consider that rasa is caused by the spectator or audience. The spectators are able to experience in their hearts something above the common material ingredients, alokika, something transcendental, due to the experience, expertise of the literary work, footnote 13. Even the expertise of secular rasa and secular literature can take place with the perceiver. The expertise of the work and actors helps this to take place, but ultimately rasa resides with the perceiver. So you can improve it by the quality of the acting, quality of the script, you know? Like that, then you can improve it. That's then his point here. But the other is that it's you're dealing with the Lord, you're dealing with the devotees, so that's why then it works. Right? So they can carry these things. But if on the material platform, then it's with the audience. If they don't catch it, it's a bomb. You know? So that's the interesting thing, is because you'll sometimes see critics, they completely pan something as really bad, but it was super popular and very big. Yes. You know, big box office, you know, ran long time. Because general people related with it.
Yes.
And so then they could catch the rasa. While the you know, the how you say, the journalists are, you know, is tend to be a bit skeptic.
Yes.
Then they don't, you know, unless it impresses them. And, you know, all they do is movies all day, day in, day out, so you really got to impress them. For the general public, they're not watching every movie from every genre every day like this, like they do. And so then they can be impressed because they don't expect as much. You know, the other was that, you know, if that's the script is perfect, the acting was perfect and everything, then I'll be impressed. You know, like you said before, impress me. You know, so that's the thing. So they don't need to be impressed. So then they appreciate. So then you have the aspect of the audience. So you see in the one, they didn't have the attitude that matched with that. Therefore, no rasa was produced. Someone else did. Therefore, it was. Same thing. So you can say the script and the drama and the actors didn't produce it. It was in the audience. So that's what he's bringing up here. You know, but we see in the transcendental, all these things can take place. Means all of them together is what makes it work. However, the spectators or audience must have the proper previous impressions or sympathy for this to take place, as we mentioned. You know, one has, someone else doesn't. Old mimamsakas, unsympathetic persons, could not experience the same rasa. The author agrees with this. This does not apply, however, to depicting characters such as Ram and Sita, who are full of unlimited qualities who enter into the depicted characters, right? So they enter into the depicted characters, right? So that's the point we were saying there. You know, but some are saying, oh, you can't do that, but that's how it works. But we're saying if you're playing Nala, he's a character in Sanskrit literature, like that. And so there isn't that potency there. He can't produce that. You know, so unless you somehow or another come across, then you're getting that, you acting and all that, then you can get something there. But in here, then it's just all naturally there.
Mm-hmm. Right? And this Nala,
yes.
Is like a devotee?
No. Prabhupada mentioned, we have nothing to do with Nala. He's Mahabharata, it's a very major story. It's a very famous story. Like that, what is it? I don't even remember. What's the, you know the play? About Nala? Yes, but there's a name for it in Sanskrit. Okay. It's a very famous, you know, you could say it's even better than Romeo and Juliet. Because they do get together. They don't end up dying. You know, that's stupid. Put in all that energy and then they all die. It's kind of like, you know, it's like going there, yeah, cooking this and that and doing the whole thing and like that and, you know, lighting it on fire and mixing it up and putting all the things and describing it all and you're ready to eat and then they drop it on the floor and that's it. And supposedly that was supposed to be a fabulous experience. People need to get it together. They're crazy. Because the idea is at least my relationship's not as bad as this. You know, we're still together. But that's Shakuntala. That's a different one. This is Nala. Nala and Damayanti. Because Shakuntala is that Maharaj Dushmanta. Dushyanta. Yeah. So it's a different one. Same continent. Different story. Thus, those depictions are a cause of rasa, right? So those actors and that, they can cause. If the actors or reciters also have full sympathy with the portrayed character, they can also cause rasa. Right? So the actors, reciters, they also relate with Ram and that and appreciate and they see themselves as a servant, then they can depict. Means the Lord himself, the potency, he can empower. They have that mood that is there. The audience relates with that, then it goes there. Does that make sense? You know, and somebody tries to properly depict the pastimes appropriately. They don't have them coming out and speaking in jive or something, you know. Yeah? Yeah. That would be wild. Right? Ramayana, a rap presentation. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.